Romans chapter 8 tonight. This is a wonderful portion of Scripture. Romans chapter 8 is. I've wore out a number of Bibles, and the majority of my Bibles that's wore out has been wore out in the New Testament, and these are some of the pages that was wore absolutely out, because I've spent lots of time with these Scriptures, studying them, praying about them, reading them over and over and seeking them, running references on them. Amen. And it's a wonderful portion of Scripture. So many things about our Christian life is right there in Romans chapter 8. So many areas of tremendous truth and insight into holiness and righteousness and truth are right here in Romans chapter 8. Amen. But I don't intend to preach all of Romans chapter 8 tonight. That's amen. There ain't enough time. Ain't enough time to do that. Besides that, I'm not smart enough to preach all there is in Romans chapter 8, because when I get through, there'd still be a lot that hadn't ever been touched. Amen. But we want to look at one verse tonight in Romans chapter 8, and that's verse 15. And he said, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear." Now, fear is the bottom line of bondage. That's the end result of bondage, is fear. That's the devil's tool. That's his weapon, fear. "But ye have received the spirit of adoption," praise God, "whereby we cry, Abba, Father." Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, tonight, I thank you for your spirit. I thank you for your anointing, Lord. Now I ask you tonight to help me to preach the truth in the Word of God. Lord, give us insight and understanding into Thy Word, and touch our hearts together and let us to respond to you. Oh God, move among us with your mighty power and your great anointing tonight. And may your people be edified. May they be strengthened, encouraged, and built up in their most holy faith tonight by the power of your divine and wonderful Spirit. And we'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Praise the Lord. You can be seated. Now, the Bible here starts out by saying in this text tonight that we as Christians have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. God has not called us but unto liberty. Amen. Praise God. When God saves us, God calls us out of this world wherein bondage is. And God saves us and calls us into liberty. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We're not bound anymore when we get saved. We're liberated. Amen. Praise God. And so He's called us into liberty. And then he said the reason that we have such great liberty, that we have received by the grace of God the spirit of adoption, whereby that through this spirit of adoption we have the privilege to cry, Abba, Father. Now this word Abba is a word that's particular to the Jews, and it's almost like putting a name on God. Amen. Putting a name on God, a name that's high and reverential. Now, in the Jews, in their instructions for life, I think they called it the Talmud or things that they taught, you know, their young people and their children. You know, in their synagogues, they brought all their kids from the time they were 12 years old. They began school in the synagogues, and they taught them from the Bible. Well, they taught them actually from their Talmud, not from the Scriptures, but their interpretations of the Scriptures. And they were taught in these things. And to the nation of Israel, to the Jews, they were not allowed, unless they were true Israelites, or unless a child was a true child of that parent, they could not put this particular thing, Abba, before Father. When this was placed before the word Father, it meant that you was a true child, that you had been, you was their blood of their blood. Amen. That you was their child, their own child. Amen. You were not an adopted child. You were not one that they had, but you were in the bloodline. You were their blood. You were blood kin. And then and only then could you describe your father or put this, whatever terminology you used before, the word father, that you put this Abba. Amen. So this word Abba was a reverential acknowledgement of the Father being your own genuine personal Father. Hallelujah. Amen. You say, well, what does that mean, Brother Casey? That means that you and I have been brought into a privilege that, amen, the world doesn't know anything about, amen, that we can call the great God of heaven, we can call Him our own Father. We are His descendants, praise God. We've been made in His likeness and in His image, and we've been bought back from bondage by the blood of Jesus Christ, and we've been made His children by the grace of God. Hallelujah. Well, how wonderful that is. Praise God. So it's really, this scripture here is really a victorious cry. If a father had been gone a long time, get this picture. Amen. A dad had been gone a long time, maybe on a trip or away from home, and the child saw the father coming down the road. And in excitement, he ran to greet him. He would cry, Abba, Father! My own father, my own personal father is here. Abba, Father! It was a cry of victory, of joy, of gladness. Amen. Hallelujah. It wasn't a cry of defeat or discouragement. It was a cry of victory. And this is what the writer's trying to get across to you and I as he declares this scripture here. We haven't received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we receive a spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We've got victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Our Heavenly Father is God Himself, the Creator, and it gives us great victory. Hallelujah. So it's a victorious shout. So I'm preaching tonight on a cry of victory and not defeat is the cry of the church. Praise the Lord. Amen. Folks, we're not defeated. We're not very many. And we could look around at the empty pews and we could get discouraged. Amen. As a matter of fact, it bothers me. Amen. I have to continually pray to rise above, amen, the fact that we have so many empty pews. I don't like it. I'd rather have them all full. Praise God. All everybody with victory and everybody shouting. Amen. But I don't have the power to do it without compromising at least. Amen. Now, I know how to fill them up. I do. I know how to fill the pews up. I can put on some programs and raise a little money and spend some money. Amen. And put on some programs and let the word get out that we're no longer like we used to be. And not require some things of some folks. There are just a few things that I could let up on and fill this place up. I could let up on women wearing men's apparel, women cutting their hair, and TV. And if I'd let up on them three things, matter of fact, the word has come to me. And matter of fact, we've had folks that's tried to pressure me into it. Amen. The word has come to me. If I just let up on them, amen, that there's folks that come. I can't do it, folks. I can't do it for you, your relatives, and your loved ones are mine. If Charity or Vicky don't live right, if Laura don't live right, amen, they won't be singing in the choir. Amen, they'll get off the musical instrument. Amen, if they don't do right and live right, amen, and serve God, whether they're my kids or your kids, it's all the same. Amen. I've got an obligation and a duty before God as a pastor, amen, to try to do the church or run the church or operate the church, amen, as a good shepherd, but it's my duty to control this pulpit and this platform, amen, with people that are godly examples. Amen. And folks, I just can't use people that's going to run around and gossip and backbite and tail bear and be one thing in church and be something else outside of church. I ain't going to use them. Amen. They're going to be worldly and liberal, and I can't use them. I just can't do it. Amen. I'm not going to. Praise the Lord. And regardless of what comes or what goes, amen, I'd like for us to remain a holy church with a holy standard. The things that we knew, amen, that our forefathers bred and died for, amen, those that come and blaze the trail of holiness in the old days, that we're standing for what's right. Amen. Some of you had relatives, loved ones that blazed the trail of holiness, preached the Word of God, the truth, sacrificed many times to do it. Amen. I want to stand for what's right, don't you? Yes. Amen. And so the church, regardless of the size, I don't believe that Jesus, I believe He was saddened by it. Don't get me wrong. I don't believe He was happy because folks turned away. When He spoke and told that great crowd that thronged around Him, amen, when He said, unless you eat My flesh and drink My blood, you cannot be My disciples. And the Bible said from that time forth, many of them turned and went away. And He looked at His disciples and said, will ye also go? Amen. I don't believe Jesus was happy about them going away. Amen. But it's a sad fact. He wasn't happy. The Lord was sad when the rich young ruler turned and went away from Him because he wasn't willing to do what He said. Jesus wasn't happy about that. The Lord don't like anybody to turn their back on Him. But nevertheless, He didn't change His message. Amen. He didn't run after them and say, now look, if you just come on back now and you just, everything will be all right and we won't mention that no more. And everything. Jesus didn't do that. He didn't do that. He never did do that. Amen. We had some folks leave the church here one time. They came back months and months and months later and they said, Brother Kay, can we come back to church? I said, sure you can. Nobody told you to leave. You can come back anytime you want to. I said, but when you come, it's just like it was when you left. Amen. I'm not going to change. I mean, I trust that that's a sanctified stubbornness. Amen. But there's something in me, amen, that when I got saved, got the Holy Ghost, and I worked out my salvation with fear and trembling, amen, and I got my convictions out of that Bible and on my knees in the presence of the Lord, and I feel like I got what God wanted me to have, and I found the truth, amen, and I've tried to align my life to the Word of God and the truth, and God told me to preach it, amen, I'm not going to change. I'm going to stay with it. When Brother Casey changes, you can say he's backslid. But I'm the type of fellow, if I backslide, you won't have to tell it. Everybody will know it. Amen. I'm not going to be a hypocrite. Amen. I'm not going to put on no show or no front. If I get ready to do what some of these birds have done, amen, I'll just do it. And I won't hide it. Amen. I ain't going to run around preaching. I don't know how anybody can preach committing some of the things they've done and then get up in the pulpit and cry and preach. I don't know how you can do that. That ain't in me, Brother Don. I wouldn't do that. There ain't no way I'd do that. Brother, folks have lost the fear of God out of their hearts that will pull stuff like that. Brother, when you get involved in fornication and adultery and all kinds of lasciviousness and uncleanness, amen, and then get up and preach the gospel, you don't have any fear of God. Amen. You don't fear God. I wouldn't do that. Bless God. God knows if I backslide, I'll just get out. I won't fool nobody. Amen. You won't have to worry about it. Amen. I'll let you know about it. Hallelujah. By the grace of God, I have no intentions of getting out, and I have no intentions of backsliding, and I have no intentions of getting involved with the things of this world, nor the lust of this flesh. Amen. And by the grace of God and God's help and God's grace, amen, and a good wife and a good bunch of folks that love God and love holiness, amen, brother, there ain't no reason to. We're going to heaven. We got victory in our heart. We got something to shout about. We're crying, Abba, Father. Amen. We got too much to gain to lose. Hallelujah. What is a moment's pleasure against an eternity without God? Don't make sense. Foolish. No wonder God says it's a fool that makes a mock at sin. Amen. It's a fool that makes a mock at sin. Amen. Jesus said these words, and they were not words of defeat. Jesus said when they hung him on the cross, and he was dying, he said, amen, it is finished. Praise God. The world would look at that and they'd say, well, that guy's had it. He's defeated. Amen. The Sanhedrin court sat back and breathed a sigh of relief when all them religious leaders said, well, we got him now. That's it. Amen. The devil wiped the sweat off his brow and said, well, we took care of Jesus. We got him after all. Amen. The Roman soldiers, amen, they said, well, this dirty job is over. We finished him off. It looked like defeat, but it wasn't. When Jesus said it was finished, he didn't mean that his life was over. When he said it's finished, he meant the work of Calvary was finished. Amen. That was a word of victory. Amen. It was a declaration of victory and not defeat. Amen. The world sometimes takes things as defeat. Amen. But we know what the truth is, and that gives us a note of victory. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It's finished, he said. And to the world, that meant that he had been defeated. Amen. But to you and I that knows the truth, we know that that meant, amen, that the work had been accomplished. And the job had been done. And that which he came to do, he had done it. Hallelujah. And so, we find that the cry of the church is not defeat, but it's a cry of victory. Hallelujah. He said, it's finished. And we when we read about Stephen, the Bible said that after he preached that marvelous message, went all the way back to Abraham and brought it on through to Joseph and all the way down to Egypt and Moses and deliverance and victory. Amen. And he preached that marvelous sermon. Amen. And such glory of God and anointing was upon him that they saw it as his face glowed before the Lord. Amen. The anointing of God's Spirit all over him. Amen. And it cut them to their hearts and pierced them to their soul. And they began to drag him outside the city and stone him. Amen. Hallelujah. But it wasn't defeat for that man of God. The Bible said that he looked up and saw the glory of God. Amen. And he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. Amen. It looked like defeat to the world. Old Saul standing by, holding their garments while they stoned him. It looked like that Stephen, amen, was done for. But brother, he had a vision of something that they couldn't see, and they never had got a hold of, and they didn't know anything about. And as he looked up, I believe he was crying to his heart, Abba, Father. Hallelujah. God is my Father, and victory is mine. Amen. I'm not defeated. I'm going home to be with Him. Praise God. The cry of the church is victory. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The world murmurs and grumbles and complains and belly aches and moans the blues. But the child of God shouts the victory. Amen. Hallelujah. The Apostle Paul. Amen. The historians tell us, in writing about him, tells us that on his last day here on this earth, in a Roman cell, as the soldiers led him out of that cell and led him towards that guillotine that was going to take his head, amen, historians tells us that the Apostle Paul jerked out of their grasp and ran of his own free will and put his head under the guillotine. You know why? Praise God, he had finished his course. He had fought a good fight. He was anxious for the crown.
He was going to be where his heart was, where he had longed to be for a long time, where I believe that was caught up into the third heaven, where he had saw the Lord and some of the things there that he wasn't even able to tell us about. Hey, man, he was going home to be with Jesus, and he didn't want anybody saying they took his life. He gave it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Isn't it wonderful how the church counted it a great victory to be a martyr for Christ? Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I believe that's the kind of victory we're going to have in this last day. I believe we're going to need that kind of victory, where we can count it all joy when we fall into divers temptations, where we can learn how to sing the Lord's song even in a strange land. Amen. I don't believe the church needs to hang their harps on a willow tree. Amen. And moan the blues. Amen. And cry. Amen. And feel sorry for themselves and have an old downcast spirit. I don't care what the devil sends our way, how much defeat there is in life, how many things go wrong. I believe, brother, if our hand's in his hand, the church has got a cry of victory, and they can come through them back doors, every one of us with our head up, our shoulders back, join our hearts with a praise on our lips and victory in our soul, saying, Abba, Father. Yes. Praise God. I believe that tonight. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. They tell us that Peter himself requested to be crucified upside down rather than to be put to death as his Lord was. He said he was not worthy to be crucified as his Lord. So he requested that when they hung him on the cross, that they hang him upside down. Peter hung upside down on a cross 3 days. Took him 3 days to die hanging there upside down on a cross. And historians tell us that in those 3 days, Peter preached to them that was going by and told them about the love of God. Told them about Jesus the Savior. Preached to them. Amen. Hallelujah. What did he have? He had something in his soul, brother. He was crying, Abba, Father. Amen. It wasn't defeat. It was victory. He was giving himself for the Savior. And the Bible said, if we suffer with him, we're going to reign with him. Praise God. You see, their faith was real and genuine. Amen. It wasn't a Hollywood faith. Huh? Brother, we're living in an hour when men have built kingdoms, religious kingdoms all over the country. Billions of dollars going into the coffers, amen, of supposedly worldwide evangelists. Millions of dollars. The article I passed out to you, and some of them, I think one of them's on the bulletin board, and one's in the paper. There's some in the rack, I think, back there. Amen. It was one of the best articles I've read about Swaggart. And I thought that was great when that guy said, wonder how much real work could have been done for the kingdom of God if the money that was gathered to those, the millions of dollars that were gathered there and sent to that, would have been spent and given to the local church. That's right. Where that the people could have saw where their money was going. And see, I thought that was a good article. Yeah. I thought that was real good. I've been preaching that for a number of years. Don't be sending your money off where you don't know where it's going. Amen. Don't be putting alligator shoes and Cadillacs and Mercedes-Benz and $300,000 homes. Amen. And Cadillacs and showboats and everything else. Amen. Don't be doing that. Amen. Put it in your local church. Put your money to work. Amen. Where you get your food at. Amen. Where you get fed at. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I went to hospitals and visited folks in the hospital. And it just seemed like it just thrilled them because they could tell me who their pastor was. And their pastor was some TV or radio preacher. But I noticed, I've asked some of them, I said, well, did they come to visit you when you were sick? And they didn't. Sure enough, they didn't come visit them when they said, oh, but I know they're praying for me. Lord, have mercy, the computer's the only thing that knew your name. Amen.
Right.
Jimmy Swaggart got so many letters, gets so much correspondence that he's got his own personal zip code in Baton Rouge. He's got his own zip code. They send mail trucks out there, big trucks, big trucks. They send them out there. Huh? There has been as much as 250,000 a day going through that ministry. Are you seeing what I'm talking about? There ain't no way he knew all them folks' names. And if he'd have prayed for every one of them a name, he could have never got through them all. Amen? And folks receive letters, and I'm praying for you, and this, that, and the other. They don't even know who you are. The computer runs that stuff out and ships it out. Amen? Hallelujah? What a sad day it is when folks are so deceived by things today. Amen? What about the local church? It's a place where God is anointed and blessed. Amen? Where the Apostle Paul died for it and believed in it and established a hundreds of them over the land where he went. Amen? The local church is the way to go.
Yes, amen.
It always has been and always will be. The local church. I'm glad I'm part of it. Praise God. I want to be a part of the local church. Let me say this to you. God's children are singers. Do you get what I said? God's children are singers. Now, they ain't got a rock and roll song, or they ain't got the whine of a honky-tonk song. You know. And they're not mourning the blues. You know. The blues song. Amen. And a lot of other singing that folks do, that's not their song. But the children of God have got a song. Amen. They're singing a song. And it's the Lord's song. Amen. When we sing, we're singing to the Lord. Amen. And it don't make a lot of difference how it sounds. Though we ought to do the best we can. Amen. We ought to sing as good as we can. And it don't hurt to practice and improve your whatever you're doing for God. That don't hurt. It's for the Lord. Amen. And we ought to do the best we can. We ought to improve it if we can.
Amen.
And God will help us to do that. We make it a matter of prayer. It's part of a ministry. And it's what God, our talents and our gifts, things God's give us. Amen. But what we really do it for is to praise God and to glorify God and to sing songs to the Lord and worship God. Amen. So we got a song of victory. The church has got a song of victory. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And we can cry, Abba, Father. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And if we'll keep that victory in our hearts, keep that victory in our lives, brother, sister, it won't make any difference what the world does or how the world goes. What will make a difference is that we follow Jesus Christ. You see, He won't get us there. I mean, we man won't get us there. God will get us to heaven. And that's who we need to follow. I say this to you tonight, and it's a quotation of the Apostle Paul. And Paul gave them instructions, and he said, he didn't say follow me. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Now, that's the only way you can follow a man. Follow the man as he follows Christ. If he, Brother Blair, if he quits following Christ, you quit following him, or you'll get led off in the same place he's getting led off. And if the blind follow the blind, they both fall in the ditch. Now that's scripture. That's what the Bible says. And so I'm saying to you tonight as a church, folks, follow me as I follow Christ. Follow me as I follow Christ. Amen. And by doing this, we can all sing the victory. We can have a praise to God. We can shout the victory and let God have His way in our lives. And we can have the victory in spite of the devil and all the things the devil would have to defeat us and tear us down. We can shout the victory in God. Hallelujah. And with the writer, we can say, Abba, Father. He's our God. He's our Savior. Praise God. I've always said this, that God's people are shouters and not pouters. Amen. And they rejoice and not murmur and complain. Hallelujah. In Galatians chapter 5, Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1, he tells us this. He said, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty. Now, the word liberty there simply means freedom. Means freedom, being not entangled. Amen. And in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. You see, the Bible says in one of the Gospels that he whom the Son has set free is free indeed.
Amen. And so we've been called unto liberty, and Christ has made us free. Then he said, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Now, there's a scripture in Proverbs that says this: righteousness exalteth a nation, but that God saved you from. That's what he was saying. Don't go back to the sin that God saved you from. God has saved you from the sins of this world, and don't go back into that. He was telling the Jews, don't go back into Judaism. God set you free from that. God set you free and made you a Christian. Don't go back and be entangled, be in bondage again with Judaism or anything else that the world's got. Amen. But count it victory and liberty to be saved and in the Lord. So, sin, whether it's in the individual, whether it's in the church, whether it's in the home, whether it's in the nation, or wherever it is, sin has bondage. God said it. And sin brings bondage. You can't shout the victory. Amen. If you do, it is a hypocritical shout. When folks shout above their sin, amen, there's something about it. One fellow said it don't have that Israel ring. Amen. Have you ever heard things in churches? Or have you ever met people that somehow it just didn't feel right? You couldn't put your finger on it, but somehow it wasn't right. Well, terms that preachers use a lot of times is it just don't have that Israel ring to it. Just something about it don't have that genuine, solid, truthful, sincere ring to it. It feels like it's something's not quite right. You can't put your finger on it. You don't know, but you don't have a good feeling about it. Amen. Usually there's a problem somewhere in that life, or even in that church. There's churches I've been in that you felt that. Amen. And usually there's a sin problem somewhere, because sin has bondage. Sin has bondage. Amen. When we're bound to it, amen, it has bondage in our life, and we're constantly in fear. Do you know there's a lot of folks that call themselves Christian, they're constantly afraid somebody's going to find out. Amen. Come to my house anytime.
Open the door, go through the house, look in the closets. Don't make a mess, but... Amen. I'm what I am 24 hours a day. Whether you see me downtown or at Walmart or at home or in the church, I'm just me. Brother Leon, I ain't putting on no show. I ain't putting on I'm not putting on no... What would you call it? I'm not trying to make myself, Brother Blair, something I'm not. Amen. Putting on the front, that's a good word. There ain't no sense in that. If you're really saved, you don't have to. Amen. If you're free of condemnation, if you got everything on the altar, amen, you got your sins under the blood and you're walking with the Lord, you don't have to be in bondage. You can be in liberty, and you don't have to put up front. You don't have to put on a show. Just be you, amen. And that's a child of God, hallelujah. Amen. I'd hate to walk in fear, afraid somebody's going to find me out. Well, Lord, let them put a photography on my trail. I don't care. Amen. Let them hire the FBI and the private eyes and any other kind of eyes they want to. Amen. I'm under the eye of God. And He sees me in the dark. He knows what I'm doing. Amen. He knows where I'm at all the time. Amen. And it's God that really counts. I don't care what man's got to say. It's God that counts. It's what God knows that counts. Hallelujah. I'm glad tonight there's victory in Jesus. I'm glad to know tonight. Amen. And if we got everything under the blood and we're with the Lord, we're an open book. What's that song that says, an open book for... You know, for those to read or something. I think Brother Leon sings that maybe. Something about being an open book. Praise the Lord. I'm glad tonight that we're epistles known and read of all men. Praise God. Known and read of all men. Praise the Lord. Amen. And if we're ready to go to heaven and we got everything under the blood and we're living for God, hallelujah, it's going to be wonderful when it's over. Heaven's going to be great. Hallelujah. What a wonderful time it's going to be when we get there. Then we'll have it done. Until we get there, we ain't got it made. We ain't got it made. It's like I told you Wednesday night that we need to pray every day. Dear Lord, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. We need to pray that way every day because this is the evil day we're living in. Amen. And I talking to some of the preachers hey, we know dozens of preachers that's got caught up in stuff this year, just this year. Just got caught up in stuff. And it seems as though that the devil is planting traps for preachers, and then when they get caught in it, he's exposing them. That's right. I know dozens of preachers that have had to leave their pulpit this year, shamefaced, because they got mixed up with women. That's right. It's epidemic. That it's true. It's epidemic stage. And it's almost, I'll tell you what, it's got to the place, brother, sometimes I'm almost ashamed to tell folks, well, yeah, I'm a preacher. You wonder what's going through their head when you tell them you're a preacher. That's how much suspicion's in the world today. Because, you know, all of them's not bad. But you know how folks are. Amen. If one person goes bad in our church, the whole town will say, boy, that church down there. They'll class all of us in that whole lot. Isn't that right? That's the way folks are. Amen. And just because some preachers went bad, they ain't all bad. Amen. They ain't all bad. Amen. But nevertheless, it seems like the devil is setting traps for preachers and then exposing them. And I got to thinking about that, and you know what's involved in that? Nothing more than the devil's takeover. It's causing people to lose confidence more and more in the ministry. Amen. And it's bringing the church under fire more and more. And the world's going to get to saying, there ain't nothing but a bunch of hypocrites in the forest. Ain't nothing to that mess. And they'll get more and more involved in this one world deal and all that. Amen. And four too awful long, they'll be killing Christians all over the country and saying that we're doing it God a service. They ain't no good anyhow. They're stopping us from taking over the world. Amen. That's what the one worlders are that way, whether it's in communism, Catholicism, or whether it's in this New Age movement. Whatever it is, they're all after the same thing. Amen. And the only thing that stands in their way, all three of those movements, Catholicism, communism, and the New Age deals, they're all, the only thing that stands in their way is the church. And they're out to get the church. They're out to destroy it. Amen. It's the arm of the devil. Out to cause people to lose confidence in the church. But I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to put my confidence in Him. Amen. And I'm going to follow men as they follow Christ. When they quit following Christ, I'm going to drop them. Amen. I ain't going to follow them no more. Amen. I'm going to follow those that follow Christ. I'm going to stay with those that stay with the book. I'm going to stay with the Bible and the Word of God and the good things of God and know what and do what I know is right. Amen. And try to make heaven my home. Hallelujah. Because there is victory in Jesus.
Amen.
Let's stand together. I'm glad tonight that the cry of victory is the cry of the church and not the cry of defeat. The world knows defeat. And they're murmuring, complaining, and griping, and grumbling about everything there is to think about. But the church don't know anything but victory. And it don't make any difference what way the world goes. The church is going up. Praise God. It don't make any difference what the world does or which way the church, which way the world goes. But the church, the real church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Those that are born again, been washed in the blood, that's living for God. Amen. That's full of the Lord. They're going up.
Amen.
Praise God. And brother, they're looking up. Amen. And they got their eyes on something. Amen. That's beyond this world of tears. And it's like I preached this morning. There's something on the inside of us saying, keep on, Sister Blair. Keep on, Brother Blair. Amen. Keep on, Brother Ratley. Keep on, Sister Ratley. There's something inside of us that goes over and over and says, just be encouraged. Keep on going. It'll all be over after a while. We got a heavenly home. Glory to God. Let's lift our hands and give the Lord praise tonight. Oh, thank you, Jesus, tonight. Praise your wonderful name tonight, Lord. Thank you for your grace. Hallelujah. Oh, glory, 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 glory. Thank you, Jesus, tonight. Praise the name of the Lord forever and ever. We appreciate you tonight, Lord. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Would you gather with me tonight around these altars and let's praise God and worship the Lord and pray.